Who, Shobindo writes one of the lines, we shall tell the whole world of his ways and his cunning. So in the Life Divine is one of the places where he is revealing to us the ways of God and his cunning. How this world has been made and how the divine operates, how he, what is this play about, and how he is the sole player, and yet all of us are led to believe that we are the actors, if not the most important actor. So why should we read all this? Well, there are two ways of reading. One is the scholarly and academic mind. So the scholarly and academic mind compares, contrasts, analyzes, because that's the only thing it knows. So it compares a verse from the Gita, something in the Veda, if it has read, or something from the various philosophies which it may have read, understood, not understood. And based on that comparison, contrast, or from one's own life, one tries to understand. Obviously, it is limited. One cannot understand the infinite by the finite mind. It is understood. It is understood that one cannot understand. Yan mansa na manote yena hur mano matang tadev brahman tvam viddhi nedam yadi dabum pasate. That by which the mind is known. But the mind cannot know it. So what are we supposed to do? So what we are supposed to do is to read not with the scholarly mind, but with the seeking mind. And the difference is this. Scholarly mind believes that the mind can know. And therefore, when it reads, it compares, contrasts immediately, active. It's an academic mind. And then it writes very good articles on, based on what is here in this, what is there in that, different philosophies. But the seeking mind does not read that way. The seeking mind is charged with the fire of aspiration springing from the soul. It is not reading because it wants to satisfy a mental curiosity. It is reading because it wants to understand the ways of God. At one point of time, the Life Divine and Savitri used to be on my table long, long back in Delhi when I was posted there. And someone came and wanted me to meet their Guruji and all that. Cut a long story short, I said, see, I have no interest, this, that. Very politely, I tried to refuse him, but some people are very, you know, evangelist with a fervor. He said, you come, you will have this experience, that experience. I told him, I'm not looking for experiences. So finally, he said, what are you looking for? I said, I had some questions. So I told my standard questions about karma, about world, about God and all that. He said, no, these questions only God can answer. So I said, thank you so much. I took the copy of Life Divine. He has answered. And maybe he will answer for you. So this tendency not to seek knowledge is also harmful. In fact, it's detrimental. At one place, Sri Aurobindo writes in one of his letters to Barinda in 1920. He said, in India, which is a land of knowledge, one of the meaning of the word Bharat comes from that. It is full of knowledge. And knowledge is not just intellectual knowledge. It's something supra-intellectual. He says, what has happened subsequently, we shrink from thought. And then he gives the example of our Vedic rishis, how they swam through seas of thought to reach that shore. They use thought as a vehicle. As we drive a car, as we drive a scooter, they use thought as a vehicle. 9 levels of thought, Navagavahas, Saptagavahas, the different layers through which thought climbs. Ultimately, it falls silent. We all know that. But it is one thing to fall silent when one is at the hillock, and quite another when it is in front of that grand vision, face to face with the sunlight falling on the Mount Everest, and it says, I cannot express what the wonder that I am experiencing. So this is the difference. So the Life Divine helps our thought layer by layer. And as I said, Sri Aurobindo is holding our hand. So it's very delightful. Who can write all the mysteries of God, of the Supreme? Only the Supreme can write about himself. So it makes it even so beautiful. You know the story of someone who was reading the life. He came to Professor Madhusudan Reddy, our Anand Bhai's father, and he asked him that, "I want to understand life divine." And he looked like an ordinary common village folk, not ordinary, that's not right, but looked like. So he said, "But why are you interested in reading?" He saw him, Vesh Bhusa, and he said, "Why are you interested in reading this book particularly?" He said, "I don't know, I was passing through the road and there was a bookstall and I was attracted to this book because it was emanating blue light from it. And when I opened it, I kept seeing blue light, lines of blue light. Now I want to understand what is this book." So he did pranam to him. He said, "You are already, you are understanding in your own way." So that's why we approach it. Otherwise, there is a general tendency, "Oh, how does it matter? I know there is God. God is doing everything. Uski marji ke bina patta nahi hilta," and all those things we grow up with. And then when we see things which are so different, then we just wonder, is it a puppet play? What exactly it is? So all this because we escape the need of thought. Not that thought is everything, but thought has its own place. Third reason why we should read the life divine, simply because it prepares the mind to receive the light. Mind is not an instrument of knowledge. Mind can receive, mind is an instrument of formulating knowledge, of organizing. But knowledge comes from above. And as we have seen, it comes from the supramental source. That is the origin. But as it comes, if the mind is not ready, it will create chaos. Why things are, "Oh, it is written in the life divine, mother has said so," etc., etc. So the mind has to become wide and plastic and supple and open and luminous and receptive to that incoming wisdom. And fourth reason why we should read, because as Dara said, "Life divine, mother's wine, it is out, let us shout," when it was published. And thanks to Sudhadi, I must read this small little beautiful tidbits with Nirodha, so with the permission. So Nirodha asked him, as we know that it was one of the sweetest relations, not one of the, perhaps the sweetest relation that Sri Aurobindo had with Nirodha, and something very unique, and he would wonder why it is so. And Sri Aurobindo told him, "I believe, find out for yourself why it is so." So, I'll just read something of the Life Divine class. About the Life, Nirodha is asking, "About the Life Divine class, I would have loved to read with Zed, but his Purusha-like bearing scares one. You know, he refused even to take up, and only by mother's order he did it." Sri Aurobindo, "Take up what? You have already asked him for the life divine and been sent banging. Or is it something else indicated by an Aeschylean ellipsis?" Aeschylean, actually, he was a Greek tragedy king. He was a he is known as the father of Greek tragedy. But he had something very beautiful. I vaguely remember one of his quotes where, I won't be exact, but something which long back touches, that pain in sleep, when we forget pain, then it enters the heart, drop by drop. That's the tragedy part of it. You don't forget it. It enters the heart drop by drop. And when you are full of despair, then against your wish, God's wisdom enters you. So beautiful it is. Of course, it's correct pronunciation probably is Aeschylus, or anyways, that's a Greek. A-E-S-C-H-Y-double-L-U-S, those who want to. So he says, I also asked Rishabh Chand, but he has no time. Hence, those two, thinking that they understand at least better than I. So, which two? So Sri Aurobindo says, which two? Great heavens, O Ischilias, R and Z or X and Y, I suppose the latter and the elliptical, hence these two, hence I asked about those two, I shall become quite a skillful Ischilian scholar at this rate. Meaning thereby, what are you really? As I said about Paine when he writes, a very cryptic way of writing. He's a but father of tragedy, but yet he brings in something like a wisdom. And then the final one, which is important for us. I shall have to fall back on myself for the life divine. Niruddha says, I shall have to fall back on myself for the life divine. And Sri Aurobindo, you might try read an unintelligible para from the life divine. His humor is always there. Read an unintelligible para from the life divine. Then sit in vacant meditation and see what comes from the intuitive gods. They will probably play jokes with you. In those ways. But what does it matter? One learns by one's errors and marches to success through one's failures. So it's so beautiful that, you know, even if we don't understand, we should read it. Read it in quietude. To make us understand is the job of someone who has written it. Simple. Who else will make us understand? So when we go and read the life divine, he will make us understand. And this understanding comes best when the mind is receptive. Which mind is receptive? Not the scholarly and academic mind, but the mind which is a seeking mind. Seeking mind accepts in humility that I don't know. Scholarly mind says, basically my mind can know. And this is the basic error. So what has Sri Aurobindo been revealing to us? He is revealing to us, we shall tell the whole world of his ways and his cunning. So we have heard a little bit about the cunning. The cunning is the veil. And there is another cunning. When you remove this veil, then you discover the second layer of cunning. But that second layer of cunning, you see the player who is smiling. Here, the cunning player, Chatur Khiladi, seems to wear a terrible mask. Here it looks like Krishna on the battlefield, Kalo Osmi. When you remove that, then Krishna becomes the eternal dancer, eternal charmer. There's one Krishna. In one place he puts the Kali, the other part is Kali is revealed as Krishna in her beatitude. So, very beautifully also, yesterday we read about what is God. We use the term very loosely. People even ask, when is God born? There are several ways of answering it. But one of them is, before time and space were born. So how do you say when? So when we describe these things, they are coexisting simultaneously. It is only for the purpose of sometimes our finite mind doesn't take it like that. It says, oh, first there was that non-being. Of whom nothing can be said. It's because the finite mind cannot understand. They are coexisting together. So you can approach this way and go there. You can approach that way and go there. They are all together. But for the sake of understanding, it comes like that. There is that. Na sat, na asat. Nothing has appeared. Then there is that will which consciousness folds, that stirs, and he becomes conscious of himself. And when he becomes conscious of himself, how does he become conscious of himself? Sachidanand. Existence, consciousness, force, bliss. Who has made him conscious of himself? Consciousness, force. What is consciousness, force? The mother. That's why Sri Aurobindo says, if mother is achieved, all is achieved. Because she is the one who has made the supreme. She is in the supreme. the power of the Supreme, the knowledge of the Supreme, and becomes conscious. But she has to prod him, please, work now, because bliss has to be expressed. It's not. He can't be sitting like this. He's become aware of himself. So there is the impulsion inside. What is the impulsion? Eko ham bahu shyam. At a very human level, that's what happens. People come together, Purusha and Prakriti, but now they want eko ham, either two or three, if not many, to multiply the delight. That is the only purpose actually. Nobody plans like that. I must have a child because when I have a child, the child will become a doctor and in my old age he will take care. Nobody plans like that. But that time it's a delight. Later on all the planning comes into play. So that to express delight, bliss of being, bliss of consciousness, bliss of force, bliss of existence, this bliss is the nature of that being. God is verily delight. Bliss is the nature of the being. And that must be expressed into manifold ways. So now there is this second step or third step. Okay. So this okay is now Satchidanand is, we can say, leaning forward to create. But nothing has started still. He is ready. Okay. Let's create. So you see in Satchidanand itself, there will be at least two or three poises. One where he is aloof from creation. And it's quite possible to touch Satchidanand absolute in every way and take it that he has nothing to do with creation. There is an approach based on, the mind always have different approaches. We'll come to that later. So absolute Satchidananda, one without a second, ekameva dvitiyam. But the next poise, again, these previous next are all mental language, but actually they are all simultaneously existing. And the next is when he leans towards creation. Now when he leans, what is that power with which he is create? Already there is the consciousness force which has brought him out. So she brings out, or that consciousness with which he knows himself, that should be the consciousness which should go into the world. It is called as Pragya Prasrato Purano. It is truth consciousness. And that truth consciousness goes into the world far and wide. So that truth consciousness, that which holds it, is the supermind. And from there creation proceeds. So first, what is creation? Multiplicity. So in supermind also there would be many poises. For instance, in the first stage, supermind will receive. Truth consciousness knows what is to be done. But all is in a state of oneness. Next, it will start differentiating with multiple centers. And third, when it will project these into time and space. Let's take an example. How does a dramatist or a playwright write? First, he gets an idea. So he receives an idea. Mahabharat. So Mahabharat is an idea. And slowly, in that idea, now Mahabharat, he knows Mahabharat cannot be just like keep writing Mahabharat or pick up one idea and keep repeating it. It's everything. It contains everything. It is said about the Mahabharat. Sri Aurobindo says it's so true that what is there in Bharat is there in Mahabharat, and what is not in Mahabharat is not there anywhere, because Mahabharat is in a way compendium. That's why it's called as the fifth Veda. When my students would ask me, which is the best book we should read for psychology, I would tell them, read the Mahabharata. And they thought, is you know, people put in slots. Nahi sir, wo thoda wo bataiye, wo jo typical books, standard books. I said, wo bhi batayenge, lekin Mahabharata padho. Because everything is there in Mahabharata. So it starts. Now what will happen next step? The storyline, the large plot is conceived. The storyline is about dharma. So the key idea of Mahabharata is actually dharma. So what will come with dharma? There will be satya. There will be nyaya. Satya and nyaya always accompany dharma. Because that's how the balance of creation is maintained. So there have to be some characters who will uphold satya and nyaya. Some who will be those who will take dharma in their heart. Some characters who will oppose it. And by opposing, they will fulfill ultimately satya. Because satya is everywhere. So there have to be, now he has roughly all the characters in his head. Now these characters will go through another level of change. To what extent, to what extreme, camps, this, that. So now these characters are becoming more and more clear, formed. And then these characters will be projected, introduced. Meet Mr. Yudhishthir, meet Mr. Arjun, meet, don't meet Dushasan. We may want, but it's part of the play. Sorry, he knows without Dushasan. You see how that conceives and how we understand. One of the classical examples is Ramayana. When we are in ignorance, then how will we look at Kekai and Dashrath during those moments when Ram has to be exiled? We look at Kekai as the villain of the piece. We look at Mantra as a woman whose name we should never utter. We look at Dashrath, who in his last moments suddenly became weak and inept. That Dashrath who fought for the Devasur Sangram, that Dashrath who has Manu and Satrupa has prayed to Vishnu that I want you as my child. That's how Rama is born in the family. So people in that Avadhpuri, Ayodhya, Janakpuri also, kya ho gaya hamare Raja ko? And Kaushalya, see, we told him, we thought so, this is a mistake. Now everybody is all opinions. But for Kaushalya, Mata, because, and for Mantra, Ram's purpose would not have been fulfilled. So when you see the play from a different angle, from that wide perspective, every character has their role. That's how there is a whole story going around that Mata Kausalya had asked for a boon. I don't know whether it's true or not, but yes, in principle it is true that she had to play a very difficult role. And this Ram understands. Nobody understands. Bharat is very angry. He says, you have proved to the world that there is Mata can also become Kumata. I abandon you. All this he says. And he goes in great anger against his own mother. And then what does Rama say? Because he is an upholder of Dharma. He says, Putra Kaput, possible. Mata is never Kumata. And why does he say so? Because even in her actions, she is still thinking of her own child. See, actually, as far as she is concerned, like any other mother, she is bothered about her own child. Of course, we love Ram, so we don't like it. But look at it from Keke's point of view. So in that total act, so would the divine condemn Kekai? No. Simply because she has played the natural instinct of a mother. She is not in that state of justice and what is good for the nation. And yet unwittingly she fulfills God's purpose. So is Mantra. She will counsel. What will your sevika counsel you? Dekh lena, wo pass wale doctor bahut paisa bana rahe hain. Aap aise, you also, you should charge more fees, I found out. That's the kind of counsel, small talk. That's her capacity. So in the divine vision, all these steps are marked. So what about errors? That's where our agyan comes in. We don't know the plot, so we blame Kekai, either outside or within us. We blame Mantra outside or within us. We even blame Ravan outside or within us. But ultimately, Ravan had to go through this purifying phase to return back to the Lord. This is a very beautiful writing of Nalinda. When Ravana destroyed, is actually Ravana converted. He becomes a devotee of Ram. Having said this, even Sri Aurobindo has written an aphorism like that. It does not mean, oh, very good, now I'll be Ravan. No. Each one's place, plot, in terms have been fixed. This first part we have to understand. Second part, is it fixed forever? Do I have to always play the plot of Ravan? No. Why? Because the manifestation is in space and time. And what will happen in time? Everything is evolving toward the realization and manifestation of the divine idea. What is that idea? Ekoham Bahushyam. Everybody, from the worst to the best, have to grow into their divine. What a reassuring truth this is. Why? Because that is the original idea. Original idea is not good and bad. But the mind has to go through this phase where it must accept good, reject evil, because that's it's in the plot there comes a twist. And that twist is now mind has to decide and decide on the basis of ignorance. So it'll struggle, make errors, as we were just reading in that beautiful letter. Errors are steps toward the truth. Why errors? Because we look at them as errors. But in the divine wisdom, when you fall and get up, you become stronger and stronger. This is that story after which I mean, read something otherwise like yesterday. So the story is that a man is going on an upward hill climb. Suddenly he meets with a block of rock, big rock. And who has sent him on the upward climb? God tells him in the form of a master, you must climb, you are meant to climb this mountain. Okay. I am chosen one. Yes. So he starts his climb and he meets this rock. He says, but I am the chosen one. So it will be very easy. So he tries to push. Nothing happens. Tries to push. Nothing happens. Looks around for help. Nobody is around. He says, God must have done a big mistake. But God can't do a mistake. Let me ask his help. So he asks God, wherever you are, please help me out. What do I do? He says, push. That's logical. So he pushes. Now with this idea that God has sanctioned. So he pushes, pushes, pushes. Nothing happens. Then he begins to doubt. I don't know why he sent me up. Anyway, he lies down there. He's too tired now even to come down. In the morning he gets up. That rock is still there. But suddenly an idea flashes into his head. See, Ishkilas that we read. Forces wisdom. In the reluctant heart, suddenly he sees, oh, there is a little passage on the side. And he realizes, oh, how silly and stupid of me. And how foolish of God. He could have told me. He could have avoided all this problem. Anyways, he has read about karma. He says, maybe my karma. Ultimately, karma is that machine. It's like, you know, you put a dumb basket. Whatever you don't understand is karma. Like fate. So he goes on the side. He's wondering. After that, he not only climbs, he runs. He says, what is this play? And then God meets him. At the end, he was supposed to meet him. He says, everything I've understood, I'm so happy I met you. But what was that? He says, do you think you would have been able to climb this far and this high if you would not have tried all your strength against the rock? And yet refuse to give up something in you. I was preparing you through that failure for this success. We call it errors. We call it pain, suffering, because mind is finite. So the only way is the mind, finite mind, covered with avidya, must discover vidya, the true purpose that we have already spoken of. And when it discovers vidya, should it abandon avidya? No. It must use avidya now. That means this world of finite forms. How the divine uses us in our ignorance for the great cosmic play. How he uses Kaikeyi So we have to participate. Why we should participate? Because this illusion that I am separate, I am part of a grand play. To run away is to run away from God's purpose. That's why this idea of abandoning the play is the last illusion. This is the story of Buddha's final moments. Don't want to get into that. And how he is trying to communicate something and they don't understand, any of them near him. So we should not abandon God's play. He who discovers the reality, he does not create buddhi vedam, na janami. So he should not disturb the minds of others. No, no, leave this play. This was illusion ultimately. It's dangerous because even you should participate. But now with the vidya. Vidyancha, vidyancha, yast dvedo bhayam saha. Avidyancha, mrityum tirtva, vidyancha, amritam asnute. This is what he is revealing to us step by step. So this play is taking place in time and space. And all this we have spoken of is before time and space. So how time and space come into existence? He'll describe it later. Each of these things he will go at great length. But for the moment, is to create a ground. He has no material except himself. He alone is. So, existence extending becomes space. Static extension. Brahman extending himself statically becomes space. Brahman extending itself in mobility becomes time. Space and time are two sides of one single truth. Physics will reach that point. It is already reaching that point. At one point, we can even say they don't exist. It is true. We can go into that state of pure existence and they don't exist. But Brahman extends himself in indivisible space. Why? Because he's infinite. That solves the riddle. Where is space extending into? Universe is expanding. And ordinarily we say, what is space? The curvature of this universe. But universe is expanding into what? Into space. Where is the end of that space? So we use the word boundless. Why it is boundless? Because Brahman is infinite. See the logic. It is Brahman who has become space. What about time? Brahman, the same existence, extending in mobility as the stir of vibration, becomes time. How do we measure space? By matter. Something is here, something is there. Time by events. That's our way of understanding. It could be the atomic event. That's why the electronic watches and, you know, subatomic particles. There's the most accurate time apparently. But we measure by events. Now, there are several, if we look at it like this, originally space is boundless and time also is endless. That's why contemplating on boundlessness of space and endlessness of time can give us contact with that reality. One of the ways of meditation. Just to imagine the whole time from its beginning, which we don't know. We can't even say time began. Who is there to record when time began? It's a paradox. And where will it go? When will time end? Can it ever end? Can it end just because there is nobody to measure it? It's constantly, and when we contemplate, and it is a very good cure of all suffering, because suffering is due to smallness. This moment I am caught up. This is avidya. Boundlessness of space. And that's why looking at the stars is such a simple way of freeing ourselves from that clutch of the moment. That's why sometimes when we are caught up in the moment, look at the entire panorama of our own life. Not exaggerating, oh, my life is like this. No, no. No life is only like that. There are joyous moments, happy moments. This is also the secret of cementing relationships. You are very unhappy. Are you okay? But are you always unhappy? Have you always been unhappy? That's not true. That's not fair. So when you look at things from that vastness, the vaster we become, the closer we are to the divine. And therefore, from that vastness to this smallness, there are several time-space continuums. How? When we are depressed, when we are in a hole, time is so heavy. Half an hour seems like more than a day. Kab katega? Time kab katega? When we are happy. As for example, when we visit the ashram. Oh, 7 days are over. Because there is that joy. See, time and space depend on psychological state. Same thing happens. There are domains like that. So when there, some people say eternal hell. There is no eternal hell. It cannot be. But there is a feeling of as if it is not going to end. It's an impression, not a reality. It is going to end because ultimately the divine is the truth. So this is how space and time, and with space and time comes the third thing, causality. These two we will read. So what is causality? How do we understand cause? Cause is what preceded immediately in terms of time. Khatta khaya tha, gala kharab ho gaya. A doctor will try to explain to you virus, bacteria, oh, you don't know. No, people don't say all this, okay? They don't want to tell a doctor you're a fool. But they believe in what their grandmother said. If you eat this, you'll fall sick. But not that doctors are intelligent. They are qualified fools. Because of the virus, you fell ill. Hurry, this virus is all around. So many people don't fall ill. So both are fool. One is a stupid fool, another is an intelligent fool. And who knows which is wiser? Who is wiser? It is very difficult to say. Like Alexandra David Neal, when she met Sri Aurobindo, and she made some remark about silencing the mind. And she said, who knows whether one is becoming intelligently stupid or stupidly intelligent? And Sri Aurobindo nodded, yes. And people get scared because we mean by cause this and that. When we don't understand immediately, kuch bhi to nahi hua tha, I didn't eat anything bad, still my stomach is upset, I didn't do anything, I had everything fine, then pass it on karma. So it's time, some karma in the past. Who knows, a would-be karma in the future is drawing you. Through that disordered stomach, you will reach the feet of the Lord. Isn't that story that the lady who had wanted plastic surgery, and she comes all the way to India because her face is disfigured. And she has heard there are yogis who can cure you by doing this. She doesn't meet a yogi but comes ultimately to Pondicherry because she has heard ultimate yogi is there. She meets the mother. Mother says, I cannot promise you the plastic surgery, but I can tell you that you stay here. After a year or two, she loves staying here. And at the end of 3 years, she says, Mother, there is only one problem. I had this problem, but I was otherwise satisfied with my life. Now, I have started seeing all kinds of things everywhere. I don't like it. She says, yes, but you have to go to the next step, one step further. That you see the divine in all things. Now, was this disfigurement past karma, which called the intervention of grace? This is where we have to understand causality in its real sense. And that's what Sri Aurobindo reveals. What is the divine law? Satya dharmaye drishtaye. It is not about reward, punishment, good and evil. That is our own idea of making a judge sit there. It's not the Indian idea. You won't read these terms like sin, hell, rotting. Garur Puran mein hai. I don't know, but it's okay. Not everything is connected with the Vedas. But the fact is, it may be states of consciousness you can understand. But the point is that basically what is causality? There is only one cause, the causal Purusha, the Vijnanme, the supermind. So how does he work? This ultimate cause has sown in time and space the real idea. In the universe and in the individuals. So ultimately, causality implies, the divine law implies, because there is the divine law which has preordained things, You will stumble because it is preordained, and you will rise and grow strong because it's preordained. And that divine law will carry you through all this toward the great consummation. Because this divine law is also the final consummation. So we can be quiet and happy. Don't blame it on somebody else. Don't blame it to yourself. Don't blame it to God also, because he is taking us. But what is preventing us from understanding this is avidya. If I stumble, I blame myself. I'm a bad guy. Others blame. You are a bad guy. Then there is the roasting in hell in Kumbhi Park and all that. Adding salt to injury. And coming back in another life. Langla, lula, pang, God knows what. No, this is not part of the plan. If this was part of the plan, would there be evolution at all in human consciousness? Knowing what we are and the state we start from? No, the original plan, the divine law is that it is pushing. There is the divine compulsion in things, taking us through everything toward that great consummation. We can align with the law, live according to the divine law, or we may not. If we do not, still the divine law will fulfill itself. But we won't have the joy of understanding that it is the divine law. So this is how the divine law has to be understood, and time, space, causality from that ultimate vision, because they'll all come from the supramental truth. So I'll just read a few pages, a few passages. Okay, we are on page 142. But the knowledge that creates, because what it creates or releases are forms and powers of itself and not things other than itself, possesses in its own being the vision of the truth and law that governs each potentiality, and along with that an intrinsic awareness of its relations to other potentiality. All this, every kind of relation with everything else in the creation through whatever. What else can one say? And the harmonies that are possible between them. It holds all this prefigured in the general determining harmony which the whole rhythmic idea of a universe must contain in its very birth and self-conception, and which must therefore inevitably work out by the interplay of its constituents. It is the source and keeper of law in the world. Harmony, truth is supreme harmony and delight. So what are discords? They are the initial tunings of the great master who is going to play the grand orchestra. So before the orchestra starts, 100, 300, I think just now Lalit Bhai told me they're going to have a dance of 100 dancers. Just hearing, I was so happy, 100 dancers on 5th March. So, but initially what happens? A lot of preparation goes on. So in the music, there is this tongue, there is, you don't know, what is this tongue? Suddenly the harmonium fellow is doing, do-do-do. And this is pee-pee, and you, what is this? Are they are tuning the instrument. And now if you see it over long stretch of time, there will be apparent disharmonies if you don't know. Suddenly, that's why they say that mother's music, you should listen fully. Because it is developing. It's a whole thing is a kind of harmony. It's a package. It's not a 2 minute piece you select. So there is a harmony which is developing. So suddenly it seems to break. In our ordinary life it seems to break. And we are very unhappy. What harmony? There is no harmony. Wait. He will develop a higher harmony. Then again it breaks. Now look at it like an orchestra. It is going like this. Now what is happening when it goes like this and comes down? And suddenly one of the players has to remain quiet. Must have watched on 21st February how the conductor has to conduct the orchestra. Suddenly with a gesture he has to say, no, you are being very loud, be little quieter. and then he has to say, come up. Now, here it's happening very fast. But imagine if there was a big gap, suddenly there was a dun, and then this fellow who is on whom the hammer is coming would say, meri kya galti hai? Why am I placed where I am placed? Why is somebody beating me? So we have to understand, because he is bringing out harmony is in the collective whole. So if each of us plays the true part based on the true vision of things, then only harmony can develop. Harmony cannot develop by trying to mental ways adjustment. Adjustment is not at all harmony. Trying to say, okay, let's have a harmonious get together. People will fight over the samosa where more or less, or who, which shop you got it from. Harmony breaks like this. Harmony can only develop. That's why each of us, the more we align to the divine truth inside, the more harmony will spontaneously develop, because that is the original law. When Nalnida asked Shurabindo, what is the secret of collective harmony? Shurabindo's one line answer. Union in the mother. And see, even now, all of us together, we feel so happy with each other. Why? Because we are joined together in the mother and Shurabindo. Come out. After a while, pass a remark. Say that somebody ki, kya baat hai, you are not looking well. Or pass a remark, what has happened? Your clothes are looking shabby. Ho gaya harmony. Harmonium bajne laga. Harmony change. So harmony can only be realized by tuning. That's why he wants the supermind. Because supermind is the real, original, real idea. It has the secret of harmony. It has the secret of putting things in its right place. And who is the one who has brought this to us? By the Divine Mother. The more we turn to her and live in her, harmony will develop. And she can create harmony out of apparent complete chaos. Why? Because this is the original ordering principle. So people who say, you know, in Auroville, some say utopian gone wrong. I said, yeah, your head has gone wrong. Because you don't understand utopia, you don't understand the dream. And you don't understand how it operates. You want to bring harmony on Auroville, align yourself to the Divine Mother and you see harmony will emerge. You don't want to do it, don't do it. It will emerge after 1,000 years, that has also been foreseen. So this is how, and see, it puts your heart so much at rest. The only thing we have to do is to keep aligning ourselves. And that's, for that we have to come out of ego and desire. So this is the harmony. This development and progress of the world according to an original truth of its own being. In our original truth, all are winners. Dodo, who has won the race, Alice in Wonderland, all are winners. All will reach there. That is the original truth. That is the original plan. Somebody put the virus of competition. That created a problem. But this too was intended. We have the competition, face, strive, struggle, then we grow strong, then we are ready. So that's how it is. Implies a succession in time. Here, in that grand vision, Mahabharata is already. But here it implies succession. There will be first adhyaya, pratham adhyaya, then second adhyaya, the third adhyaya. It will develop in time. A relation in space and a regulated interaction of related things in space, regulated interaction in one life. What do we meet and how much do we meet? Gives the aspect of causality. I just met some days back somebody who was very unhappy because he loved someone and she left. They couldn't get married and she went away. He was very unhappy. I said, how do you know you wouldn't have been much more unhappy had you got married? So suddenly it flashed like I said, it is up to you to be happy or unhappy. Because he was blaming himself and blaming somebody. I said, why do you have faith and go forward? That's how life is about. So it is our mind's perception. Time and space, then he speaks to us about time and space, and which we have already touched upon. Again for harmony, page 143. If there were not this factor of the successions of time, there would be no change or progression. A perfect harmony would be perpetually manifest. But they would, that delight will not be, you know, such wonderful. So delight also has to develop in each one. So, coeval with other harmonies in a sort of eternal moment, not successive to them in the movement from past to future. We have instead the constant succession of developing harmony, in which one strain rises out of another that preceded it and conceals in itself that which it has replaced. That's how we see. And therefore, when we look at life this way, we understand many things. It becomes so easy. So we should not, you know, that's how it is. The play is developing in time and space. Page 144. That which is an apparent discord to the mind because it considers each thing separately in itself. My life, me, my death. Then you will be unhappy. You can't create harmony. It's not even me, you, this, that. And mother said something so beautiful. Dilip Kumar Roy. Because he had this idea. Now that Shobindu is physically not there, maybe mother will not like me because I don't believe in her. Some such ideas may be there. She says something very interesting. We are not here to please others. This is very appealing. Ah, see, people catch this. I'm not here to please you. She says we are not here to please ourselves. Okay. So, we are here only to please the Lord. And when we live with this attitude, we are not burdened. Because we are doing the right thing at every moment. Why? Because, but it has to be done truthfully, sincerely. Not take it as an excuse, I am pleasing the Lord, sitting in meditation, I don't care about you. It doesn't mean that. Because one who loves the Lord, lives in the Lord, feels quite naturally his love extending to all creatures. Because he sees or feels the touch of the Lord in everyone and everything. That's why Maitri, Karuna, Evascha and Sarva Bhutite Rata flow from the soul which has become one with the Lord. So here, so the apparent discord to the mind because it considers each thing separately in itself is an element of the general ever-present and ever-developing harmony to the supermind because it views all things in a multiple unity. What is my loss is somebody else's gain. Mera time aayega, uska time aagya. Phir mera time aayega, kisi aur. So the whole play is developing over eons. Look at it like this. And then it's so delightful. In fact, the joy multiplies when we look at it like this. But mind looks at it immediately and with itself at the center. Besides, the mind sees only a given time and space. And views many possibilities pell-mell as all more or less realizable in that time and space. There may be many things in my heart. And I want to realize this, that, like there are people who want to be play music, play games, this, that. But then, in time and space, all cannot happen immediately. So you have to, there will be a time and then this harmony will shift. The field will shift and you will enter into, I just remember that humorous thing, I mean real thing, in Delhi Ashram I wanted to learn dancing. I don't know what seized me, I learned dancing. No, classical dance. There was somebody who was teaching dancing. So suddenly my thing came because everybody was a girl and I mean I don't want to think boy, girl. After 1-2 days, I excused myself. Actually, I am very busy. The time was not so busy. But the dancer is there inside. It dances. So I do free flow dancing when nobody is around. Or some people are around. Why? Because this is not manifested. Maybe one day it will manifest in some life somewhere. Or maybe it has manifested in some previous life which I am carrying. So there are in us many possibilities. But mind is seeing only this. But supermind will see it differently, and that's what we will see. The divine supermind sees the whole extension of time and space and can embrace all the mind's possibilities and very many more not visible to the mind. So how do I understand this? Because I had once thought about this dancing and singing which I wanted. So then I realized it's not singing for this or that or classical. Let me sing the name of the Lord. This aspiration woke up. For dancing, I said, let me dance to the tune of the Lord. Teri talwar de niche main nachiyan kare thaiyan thaiyan. What is that? That's the ultimate dance of creation. Ultimate dancer is completely aligned, attuned to the rhythm of the divine. So there is this, even this mind's possibility, I can become a good Bharatanatyam dancer. But supermind wants us to become dancer of the Lord. So this mind cannot conceive. So this is how the supermind sees many more possibilities for which it may thwart one. Here it is fine, but supposing I would have felt all my life, see, I wanted to become a dancer, singer, poet, player, nothing I could do in my life. Then he wants, now I see, he wants me to become a player on the side of the Lord's team. Supermind will look at it like that. He wants me to sing the glory of the Lord. All of us, I mean, it's not about me. Music, to sing the name of the nameless one. So the supermind, this play, when we think it is thwarted, it's because he's either upgrading it or preparing us. So this is how we have to look at it. Okay, and finally, just a little more. This supermind in its conscious vision not only contains all the forms of itself which its conscious force creates, but it pervades them as an indwelling presence and a self-revealing light. So one of the secrets of harmony, I can only suggest, we should read together. If you feel there is a disharmony with someone, read together something which is beautiful, uplifting, Savitri, the Life Divine. Your harmony will be established at such level that it cannot be disrupted through all the vagaries of time and space. Because now you have harmonized at a very fundamental level. Of course, don't force somebody, you must read Life Divine with me. Well, that's... He will say, I don't know what is life, I don't know what is divine. You want me to read the Life Divine? So you said, yes, because if you read the Life Divine, you will understand life and the divine and their relationship. And now something very beautiful. Supermind. Where is supermind? You'll see people describing supermind, no? Higher mind, illumined mind, intuitive mind, over mind, supermind. By the time you reach there, you're feeling giddy. But see what he's going to write. Something which should be imprinted in us. He's writing about the supermind. This whole passage continues. It, supermind, is seated within everything as the Lord in the heart of all existences. He who turns them as on an engine by the power of his Maya. That is what is meant by the Gita's phrase, Yantra Rodini Maya. What is supermind? That's why when Shrivindu saw Vasudev everywhere, Mother says it's a supramental experience. So what is the difference? Of course, the difference is how it is going to impact, how we have to be ready to receive the transformation, all that comes later. But where is supermind? In our heart. Why are we trying to climb this big stair? He will carry us step by step. And that's why in volume 3, Conversations, 1929-31. In fact, her on the Dhammapada. So there she says, the only way you can have a glimpse of the supermind is through the psychic door. Why? Because the psychic door is here. And supermind is wherever the Lord is. And Lord is seated here. Supermind is his truth consciousness. Will he leave his truth consciousness? Be there, I am seated in the heart of creatures. then he will not be omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. But we have, that's how he is described. So the simplest road to the supermind, and it has implications. The mother says there are three kinds of approaches people will have towards the supramental manifestation. I see the time is now gone, and let me leave it as a suspense, either perhaps for tomorrow, the three approaches to the supramental manifestation. Suspense. Promo. We'll stop here and come back in 10 minutes.